would say if we were putting a list of the most pivotal guys on the Texans heading into the season, power ranking, that sort of thing, Titus Howard's probably pretty high up that list, Seth, right? He's one of the only – did I spit?
No, there's an aphid on my – okay.
You okay?
Yeah. I was about to have a potato blight. Yeah. there's a bug on my face.
Seth's like rubbing his eyes. I'm like, damn, that spit went a long way. Titus Howard's probably one of the more important or pivotal guys on this team, I would think, just as the experience level on the offensive line. He's been a mainstay here.
Yeah.
The versatility, you know, right guard, right tackle, that kind of thing.
And you're in an offensive line room where you're trying to establish a different type of culture. And D'Amico has been pretty open about discussing that, more so than I even expected him to. He just said there needed to be a change in the culture on the offensive line. That sometimes, and you see this over and over again, high school coaches listening have seen this, that sometimes – guys just change when all of a sudden they are more in more of a defined leadership role. Mm-hmm. They kind of grow into that and start to become a better version of themselves because they feel that responsibility. And it feels a lot, just in watching from the outside looking in, it feels like Titus might be undergoing that transformation
okay.
a little bit.
Okay, well, let's see. Yeah. Let's take a listen to this interview. I talked to him for about, 7 or 8 minutes yesterday. And posted it. It's online. It's on the Twitter, my Twitter feed. I'm sure the station has retweeted it. But here's the audio for that interview. This is me with Titus Howard yesterday following practice.
All right, hey, Sean Pendergast out here at Texans training camp at the Greenbrier, and I am with Texans. I'll just say offensive lineman Titus Howard because we know you've been bumping around a little bit
yes,
for
sir.
A few years now. Last few days at right tackle, started camp at right guard. First, before we get into any of that, how's things going at the Greenbrier here?
Oh,
your first trip here, right? Because your rookie year was the year after they came here a couple times.
Yeah, it's my first time being here. They always talked about coming here, but we never came. So, I mean, the weather's great here, though.
Yeah, it's beautiful, right?
Yeah.
Especially for you big guys, man. That sweat gets big out in Houston.
I know. Makes practice a whole lot easier.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so this training camp, you started out at right guard. You've been playing a lot of right guard. You bumped out to right tackle a few days ago. I'm not going to ask you if you have preference for either one. I know you're going to do whatever the team asks you to do. But how are you feeling so far about how you've played just – training camp in general so far?
I feel like it's my best training camp so far since I've been here. I had a lot of success at right guard so far in training camp, and then I kicked back out at tackle and been having a lot of success out there these past couple of days. So, I mean, it's been pretty good.
How difficult is that, to make that bump back and forth? What's the biggest challenge, either mentally or physically, bumping back between guard and tackle?
Mentally is, it's not hard because I pretty much, when I try to learn every position, so it makes it easier so I can play faster. But I think physically, just like, more of timing aspect. Everything happens a little bit quicker at guard versus tackle. You know, going against guys that are more athletic, you're playing in space a lot more. So the timing aspect of punching, your sets and stuff, all that changes. So I think that's the biggest difference. So I try to get out early every day if I know where I'm be at for the day and try to get some sets in and some punch time and stuff in early. So when practice comes, I don't feel like I'm out of whack.
Okay, so describe that to me, your sets and your punch time. What goes into the whole pre-practice routine for you?
Yeah, pretty much. When I'm at the guard, I try to keep everything short and tight. So when I'm taking my sets, it's not just too many steps. It's just one step. I'm a big guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I cover a lot of space quick. So when I'm at guard, just taking one step, getting ready to use my hands quick, keep my base and play a little lower versus when I'm at tackle. I got to be able to kick to a junction point. So when I'm at tackle, you got guys that be lined up at wide nine. That's a new thing in NFL now.
Yeah.
So I got to find out where that angle is I want to go so I can meet that guy at a junction point and be able to keep the width of the pocket as long as I can.
I know a big theme for you guys is iron sharpens iron, especially
sure.
when you're at that tackle position and you've got either 55 or 51 lined up across from you. How does that help you prepare for the upcoming season?
It helps me a lot, man. Those guys are very competitive. So it's a battle every day. Mostly the whole time I've been in camp this week at tackle has been me and Will. I accept the challenge, he accept the challenge, and we just go at it. Every one-on-one, every team period, we just try to make each other better every day. But like I said, our DNs are two of the best guys in the league. So, you know, it's only going to make everybody better at practice because, you know, you're going to get the best of each one of these guys every day.
We know you guys are installing a new offense, and obviously new offense, you know, Cole Popovich gets bumped up to offensive line coach. How's that been going? What's been the biggest difference for you guys from last year to this year?
I say as far as offense, I kind of like played in an offense similar to this when I was with Bill O'Brien, in a similar like play style. It was pretty good, and I like this offense. I feel like this offense fits me and my style of play. But as far as the group, I feel like the number one thing I would say is the mentality. Like having more of a dog mentality up front, and you know, not taking shit for no one. I think that's something we needed these past couple of years, and I'm looking forward to being a guy to kind of, you know, lead the group and show them, you know, this is how we want to play football every day. So this camp, I feel like it's been our best camp as the offensive line, especially running the ball, because we've been able to get these guys moving, especially these past couple of days. And we're just trying to establish that dog mentality. We're just trying to work every day. We're not focusing it on, you know, just what people saying. They said we just want to get better for ourselves. And then once we put the work in on the field, everybody will realize, like, hey, these guys have been working hard this whole offseason.
Is that something that you consciously came into this season wanting to be a leader in this room, seeing as you're one of the guys who's been, forget about the offensive line room, you and I were talking before we started recording, you've been with the team since 2019, so you've seen a lot of ups and downs along the way. You've seen a lot of stuff with this organization. Is that something you came into the season wanting to, in addition to the physical stuff, wanting to be a leader and work on leadership as well?
Yes, sir, definitely. One of the things I want to do is work on leadership because, as you can see, we got a lot of young guys on the team. We got a young tackle that we just drafted. We got Blake Fisher. He's a young tackle. We got some young guys inside. So I just want to, you know, help those guys and give them the leadership, be a leader for them guys, because, you know, that's something I needed when I was coming into the league. And I feel like, you know, that can just, you know, set a different point for the offensive line, so we can start off fast and not be having to worry about that when the season starts long, so we can go ahead and establish that now.
How is the installation of the offense going so far?
It's going good, man. They're doing a good job of breaking everything down for us, and all the guys have been picking it up pretty good. We got a lot of smart guys in the room. Like, we got some of the smartest centers. It is in Jared Patterson and Jake Andrews. Those guys are very smart, so I think, feel like CJ's doing a good job, too, of picking up the offense, and he's being quick with the calls and stuff, so I feel like it's coming along pretty good.
You mentioned CJ. What's the biggest thing about him, you know, in this offense for this team, his leadership on the offensive side? When you think about him, what's the biggest thing that you think about with CJ Stroud?
I think about it, CJ's always positive, and he believes in the offensive line, so the thing he's been preaching this year, we just control what we control up front, and he's going to handle the rest. So, like, he just put it on us, like, hey, we block and we do what we're supposed to do. We got the faith in him. We know what he can do when we do what we're supposed to do. Like, that's just the number one thing. When we blocked good last year, the offense played phenomenal. It's when we didn't block good, we start to struggle a lot. So we know what we got to do up front. It's a challenge. It's not going to be perfect off the rip because, you know, we got five guys that never really played with each other before, but we're going to continue to work every week to get better.
Are you a wrestling fan?
I am.
You are? Okay, because I saw that video. That was my suggestion to the social media team to do the Cena or Cody video, and I saw you were the ones that answered, so I'm like, I think when I talked, so you're wrestling, who's your guy?
My favorite wrestler all time would be Dave Bautista.
Bautista?
Yeah.
Big Hollywood star now.
Yeah, he is.
Okay. So if you had walkout music, would it be Batista's music or would it be different music?
I say if I had a walkout, it would probably be Randy Orton.
Okay. That's a good one.
I hear voices in my head. They come to me. They understand. They talk to me.
There you go. Yeah. And what would your finisher be?
My finisher? That's a good one. Probably Batista bomb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something that a big guy would do, right? Yeah. Not a submission.
You got to be like a Batista bomb or a choke slam or something like that.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Did you watch
SummerSlam? Oh, I would do like the master lock, like Chris Masters.
Oh, like Chris Masters, the full Nelson?
Yeah.
Oh, you would get I can't believe you used to be a quarterback back in the day, right?
Yeah, I was.
How many pounds ago was that?
So when I first got to college, I was like 6'3", 220.
Okay.
I played quarterback, and then I eventually ended up moving to tight end. I spent 2 years at tight end, and then our coaching staff got fired, and we had a new coaching staff come in, and then the offensive line coach had told me, like, hey, I want to make you an offensive lineman. And then something happened in a game, and then they had to make me play offensive line for the rest of the game, and then the rest was history.
The rest is history. Yeah. First round pick.
Best
decision you ever made.
Yes, sir.
Or best decision someone made for you,
yeah,
maybe,
I know, right?
At the time, right?
He did make it for me because I was mad, man. I was mad, but I eventually ended up buying into it.
Okay, you don't have to you don't have to tell me if there's a play in the playbook, but do you ever campaign at times to put a play in the playbook for you to maybe break out and catch, like, you know, 2 yards?
Definitely.
They had one in there for Laramie last year.
I was jealous. I was like, bro, he's been offensive lineman his whole life. I'm the guy who got the hands.
I got the hands.
So you know, we're going to work on something, though.
Good. Sure. Well, that's great. Hey, Texans offensive lineman, Titus, right tackle today. Who knows what tomorrow, but
we know
you'll be on that starting five. Hey, man, appreciate you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you got it. Titus, we'll flash those H's up at the end, too. There you go.
I always make sure to flash the H's at the end with the guys on those interviews. Yeah, yeah.
You know, I have an insecurity about whether I'm flashing H properly or not. You know what the problem is? I feel like I'm always like 45 degrees away from making some kind of like white power handset gesture that I don't know exists,
That you're going to have to go back and delete years from now.
It's going to get me fired from a job 20 years from now because it turns out that, like, oh, no, yeah, that's actually the Aryan nation of South
at
Oklahoma.
The time.
Yeah.
At the time, everybody was
I don't mess with gestures anymore.
That's probably smart.
Remember when they tried to make the okay signal something like that you couldn't
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, dude. My son had pictures from, like, back in high school when he was making it, like, over his eye. Near his leg.
Like everybody, like, everybody got the, like, everybody was like, okay, hold on a second. This is getting really stupid.
Yeah.
All right.
I got to go back
doing
and
this with
I'm going to scour my social
media. We're just, everybody gets a,
So what did you think of Titus?
I liked a lot of what he said. I liked a lot. I thought the part about that when he talks about establishing a physicality, which they had done and made some progress on in these 2 days of padded practices in West Virginia. 100%. And because it's part of this offense and the way that Kaylee wants to operate. It's that they need to have a physical presence in the run game. And it's not they got to have offensive linemen that can get down and gritty and bury double teams and all of that. So you want to see evidence of it. And I think in a non-tackle environment, you can't do that 100%. But what we saw out there on Tuesday was, hey, there were some run plays where the O-line was genuinely getting some good push up the middle. Mm-hmm. And it's always hard in training camp to really tell, okay, would that have been a tackle? Would the pile have kept moving forward? But you could see the initial surge to where, all right, that's a 4 or 5 yard gain at the very least. And then maybe beyond that, that's great. But last year we just had so many instances of runs that were stuck at the line of scrimmage or tackles for a loss. A lot of the positive plays were when Joe Mixon had to dodge somebody in the backfield before he got up there. That part's encouraging to me because it's one thing to talk about it, but we saw a little bit of it,
evidence of it this week. Yeah, yeah. I'm bullish on Titus Howard this year. I think he's played well in this camp. I think he's got good reps at right tackle.
Yeah.
The last couple of days that he's been out here, and I think his mindset seems to have changed a little bit with him being kind of the senior voice in that
room. He did, you know, when he was talking about the differences between playing guard and tackle – It's true. Like I have flashbacks when guys talk about that because from a defensive lineman's perspective, when you play defensive tackle, everything he was talking about, how everything's quick, everything happens in one step. You got to be really quick with your hands. It's like fighting in a phone booth. And then all of a sudden, when you move out to defensive end, you feel like you're naked and alone on an island. Like there's just so much space and the game changes completely. And that's why it's not always, yes, it's harder to find good offensive tackles than it is to find guards, but that doesn't mean that the tackles can always make that transition into playing inside.
Yeah.
It's just a completely different skill set. He's had experience doing both of those things now, and I think just the fact that he's embraced being a versatile player now, it feels different than in previous versions before last year when it just felt like he was doing it under duress and not happy about it.
Yeah.
He understands that you got to really embrace that challenge of being a different player when you're on the inside.
Text messages coming in on the interview. Wait a second. You mean to tell me our longest tenured offensive lineman basically started to play offensive line in the NFL? No. He played in college. He came into college as a quarterback, got moved to tight end. It's not dissimilar, maybe other than the quarterback part, but the tight end part. Dwayne Brown was a tight end when he got to Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
Wade Smith was a tight end, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh no, there's a lot of, and there's,
I mean, that's not an abnormal thing.
It's not that uncommon that there. I mean, it's uncommon for the guys that didn't even play college football, but there have been some good offensive linemen in the NFL who are college wrestlers.
Yeah.
And then learned how to play. And the difference today versus in previous generations too is that most offensive linemen, when they get into the NFL these days, they're much less developed at the NFL version of football than they used to be. There's guys that get to the NFL who have never been in a three-point stance in their entire lives.
Yep.
You think about that. The
air raid guys just put their elbows on their knees.
Yeah, so from high school on through college, these guys have been in two-point stances their entire career. There's a lot to learn, so that's not and that guy could have meant it as like he's impressed by Titus or that it's somehow a negative.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, there's a lot to learn for these rookies out here because the NFL version of football is just, it's a lot different than the difference between the NFL and college is a lot bigger than it used to be.
Yeah, you know what? And just in thinking, too, Titus's journey, you know, he was at Alabama State.
Yeah.
Started there, finished there. And that's probably a big reason why he's an offensive lineman at Alabama State is probably because he was recruited as a quarterback that was at the Alabama State level.
Yeah.
If he was an offensive lineman coming in, he might have been recruited by bigger schools. I can tell you in this day and age, probably by his senior year at Alabama State, he would have had offers from Alabama or Georgia or places like that to go play his last year there to try to bump it. Now, he ended up being a first-round pick anyways out of Alabama State.
I liked hearing him talk about how angry he was that he got moved to O-line.
Yeah.
That's the exact same thing that happened to Tony Boselli. Boselli was a quarterback, and I guess a pretty good quarterback in junior high, but he just kept growing.
Yeah.
And his coach, and I think Boselli's dad was all about, you know, helping his kid become an NFL quarterback. And somebody sat his dad down and was like, listen, man, like, I think he might have flashed, like, the latest, whatever the biggest NFL offensive line contract was at the time.
That's a good thing to do.
Yeah, yeah. It worked out pretty well for Boselli.
Did Boselli grow up in Southern California? I know he went to USC.
I want to say it was Colorado.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because
it feels like Southern California is the cradle for helicopter parent, quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You know, like say, like the you know the they're all all the next Marv Marinovich.
For a lot of linemen in the NFL, they have a similar story. Like I got my freshman year in high school, I got moved from running back to offensive line.
Oh, Seth Payne is a running back. Yeah. I would love to see that.
And you're like at the time, you're like that's a pretty big blow to your ego.
Yeah.
And it ultimately worked out for me. It's very unlikely that I was going to be the next John Riggins in the NFL.
Right, 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 right.
I'm not saying I couldn't have done it, but, you know.
Fairview High School in Boulder, Colorado.
Yeah.
Good call, Seth.
No, I remember my brother was at a wrestling tournament in Fairview once, and I saw Boselli's,
Did he wrestle?
No. Boselli? But I was looking at, like, the high school's Hall of Fame and everything.
He was in it.
Yeah,
there you go. All right, Payne and Pendergast, that was Titus Howard. Hopefully you enjoyed that interview. If you missed it, it'll be up on the podcast, or you can hit the rewind feature as well. All right, this has been a very petty week. We haven't gotten to do a traditional petty cast in a couple of weeks because of the 2-hour shows, but we did sort of a mini one yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
There's still more petty leftovers, Seth.
There's so much petty out there.
There's
right
so
now.
Much petty out there. I've got
what
petty,
a world we live in.
I've got petty leftovers, including Kyle Tucker. Kyle, not Kyle getting petty.
Pettiness directed towards
Pettiness
Kyle
directed
Tucker?
Towards Kyle Tucker.
I can't imagine what it could revolve around.
So we'll have that for you. We'll do that coming up next.